Hallelujah. There's no one you can love like Him. What a wonderful character. The supreme person, the statue of a perfect man, that Lord Jesus Christ. Aren't you happy that you know Him? That He's not a textbook to me, Brother Robinson, but I've met this man. Brother Ken, I've seen His face. I used to hear it with my ears, but now I see it. Hallelujah. Praise His glorious name. Let's get our Bibles open tonight. Remember next weekend, Brother Chad's having meetings down at BCF there with Brother Gideon, Isaiah chapter 28. We're having service, I believe, starting Friday. I'm going to try to make it on Friday night. Nice we could have a showing there as much as possible, I understand. Things a little difficult, but I like to support where I can. I think it's every Christian's desire. We give our hearts to where our assembly is. I think that should come first as far as church goes. But if we can support a work of the Lord, we ought to do it. Amen. Amen. That's right, brother, Amen. Sister. And don't make excuses. You help your brothers and sisters. Amen. Be one with them. We're not the only pebble on the beach. That's right. Anyone that agrees with this word is my brother. Amen. That's right, brother, sister. That Saturday, though, we're going to have Brother Stewart here again next Saturday, 6 o'clock. He'll be taking Sunday service as well. I'm expecting great things from the Lord. The only other church I invited, I actually did it beforehand because we don't have a whole lot of extra seating, but I asked Brother Cameron if the saints over there wanted to come over, so he announced it here recently. So, Lord willing, we'll have some visitors here. We'll have trustees on double duty, make sure we got enough chairs. Because you never know. We've had to do that once before. You remember when the flood happened, I believe, down in Bluffton? We had to open that up. But you happy to be a Christian tonight?
Amen.
Amen. Let's read the scriptures and then see what the Lord will have for us tonight. Isaiah 28, verse 9. Whom shall we teach? Whom shall He teach knowledge? And whom shall He make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the breast and drawn from the or weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little, for with stammering lips and with another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom He said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is a refreshing, yet they would not hear. But the word of the Lord was unto them, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. Do you have a quote? I'll read here in a minute to go with what I'm preaching today. But for a topic tonight, doctrine between the lines, not off the line. Amen. Say that one more time. Doctrine between the lines, not off the line. Amen. Let's bow our heads together. Every heart bowed before the Lord. Do you believe He's here tonight? You believe He's still the same yesterday, today, and forever? Let's lift our knees. Say, Lord, You're still the Word. Speak to my soul. Hear my cry, Lord. While you're answering others, don't pass me by, Lord. God bless you, saints. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful to be called by Your name. We're so happy, Lord, when there's so many voices in this world. There's different doctrines. There's different movements. There's all these thoughts and they're trying to draw us each other in every way. But Lord, You gave us a voice to get us back to what You always said from the beginning. And we're so grateful for that tonight. That we've got somewhere we can put our feet down and know that God is behind this and that nothing can move us, for God is with us. Father, we pray first You forgive us, Lord. Wash us clean tonight by the blood. Get all the unbelief out of our minds, out of our hearts, that the channel God might be free, Lord, that the Holy Spirit could just come and make us just what we ought to be tonight. Lord, move upon this service, I pray. Heal our sicknesses, Lord. See our shortcomings and help us to build the right character by Your Spirit, what we ought to be in Christ. We just commit it to Your hands. We know You're a faithful Creator. You've never failed us yet, and You won't again tonight. Have Your way in this service, Lord. Speak through my lips. Same again tonight. And Lord, may we open our hearts wide to receive what You have for us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen, amen. Aren't you happy? You may be seated tonight. Praise the Lord. Well, I got back to school today. Back to two full-time jobs, you know. Good day, though. I was able to talk to a young man, begin to witness to him here. He said, I've actually talked to him a lot last year. It's been a lot of trouble back and forth. And he said, God's really been, seems to working in his life. And I was glad to be able to hear something like that. You know, I to be honest with you, I kind of, that's the one thing I like about having a job, is being able to witness. You know, not to say you can't witness where you are or at home and things, but when I'm at school, I've got opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to witness. And I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I believe I should witness wherever I am. Some people think we need to be more reserved. I think we're way too reserved. Come on, brother, sister. I think we got all kinds of pearls in our pockets and there ain't no swine we're throwing them in front of. We need to give the word out where it needs to go, brother, sister. There's plenty of you probably back in the day. God forgive you. God forgive me. I've done the same. But when I was a little six-year-old thinking it was cool to smoke cigarette or sixth grade, brother Kent, out there with some friends smoking cigarettes thinking we were cool, who would have thought there's a son of God there? That guy's going to be a preacher one day. No, he got rid off. Isn't that right? God help us to not be like that in this day. And you know what? If you're a gambling man, you probably got a pretty good chance of being right, because there's plenty of serpent seed to go around. But God don't work that way, brother, sister, because you know what? The person you don't think it is who you've been dodging all the time, is who God's trying to get the word to. Oh, if this person treats me nice, then I'll tell them about the message. You never witness for God. No, you won't. Because last I checked, usually your greatest enemy is the one you need to go for. Amen, man. We quiet tonight. Woo! Hey, I got back to work. I'm not being quiet now. I know. I had to work this morning. That's right. Had to deal with 140 people today. Yes, sir. But praise God, I get to deal with the one person I want to deal with tonight, and that's Jesus. Yes. Amen. Amen. Well, I was listening. Brother Branham here, I believe we were in the house. And this is what I overheard, and it gave me kind of the thought what I'm going to preach tonight. It comes out of Jehovah Jireh, 1959. Now listen closely. He says, now, as I expressed a few moments ago about reading between the lines, but if you're reading between the lines and try to make it say something that in between the lines says something different than what the lines say, then it's wrong. But it's got to agree all the way through. The Bible is just like a great jigsaw puzzle, if you'll excuse the expression. And if you look, if you just try to put it together just the way you look at it, you've got to have something over here to look at. What's he trying to say there? If you've got a puzzle, if you don't know what picture the puzzle's supposed to be, you're going to have an awful hard time putting it together. You know what you're going to end up doing is doing what most little guys do, just ramming pieces together and say, close enough. And after a while, you know what? You'll put something together, but it sure ain't the image it was supposed to be. Why? You didn't look at the blueprint first before you started building. Hallelujah. But we don't have to go find a blueprint, brother, sister. It was given to us by a prophet of God who heard from the mind of God, and we got no business changing it. We just need to build what God gave us. Amen. Amen. Now, I'm not getting away from between the line, but I've seen that used a little too much, brother, sister. I believe in the Bible, there's times between the line. I'm going to talk about that here in a little bit. We need to know what's between the line, because actually that's where rapture and faith lies. It's between the lines. Plenty, everybody can read the Bible. Come on now. They can read the King James Bible, brother, sister. They can see the same lines you and I see, but they can't get revelation unless they can see between the lines. Amen. Many people, you know, they get off tangent and say, well, then I can go ahead and see between the lines wherever I feel like. No, you can't, brother, sister. And a lot of people actually want to look between the lines with the quotes. I don't know if I quite agree with that. I think because the prophet will say something, and then he'll explain what he's saying. And you ain't got a right to go explain it a new way. I've heard Brother Branham say, you all know the quote, God's got a flower garden. He didn't make everybody the exact same. He made one blue flower, one red flower, one purple. And I've heard somebody use that and say, see, I'm the Christian that shows up to church late, leaves early, and don't talk to nobody. I'm not lying. That was told to me. That's just the kind of flower I am. And it's like, well, that might make a pretty good weed, but that won't make a pretty good flower, brother, sister. Because there's certain things that I don't care, you can't compromise. We all got our little differences, but if we're Christians, I think we go to church. I don't think. I know. I know that one. I know we read our Bibles and pray. Come on now. I know we believe the word of the hour, not of a day gone by or of a day to come. Come on now. Believe what that God is now. There's no day anybody got saved but today. Amen. Let me finish that quote here for a minute. He says, if you excuse it, and if you look, just to put it together, you got to have something over here to look at. If you don't, you'll ruin your scene. You'll have a cow picking grass on top of a tree, so it won't be right. So that's the way it is with when you try to put the Bible together, with an intellectual understanding of it. You can't do it. It's a Spirit-written word, and it takes the Holy Spirit to place it together. Then you get the whole great picture from Eden on into chaos and the way to the cross back home. That's the entire picture of God's redemptive story of sending His own Son to redeem a lost and polluted people. And if there's any group of people that I've met in this life that you've got to explain every single thing to, and if they hear something just slightly different than what they thought, you're going to have to go back and intellectually support what you said over and over and over again. It's message, people. Come on now. And when you begin to break these things down, I've had arguments, I'm just going to call it what it is, arguments over these stupid things that don't matter. What kind of body did Adam have before he fell? Was it a theophany? Was it glorified? Was it flesh? I don't care. The point is, I want to go back. I want to be back in the Eden condition, and I could find a cause. I know what Brother Branham said. He said he was potentially had the Holy Ghost. We could sit here and blah, 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 blah. What does it matter? Where's the power in the doctrine? I'm trying not to get ahead of myself, but somebody must be pulling that. Let's back it up for a minute. See, people think, well, I believe the Word, and I intellectually believe it. Now, that can be a start. It can be, okay? Brother Bram talks about that in The Greatest Battle Ever Fought. He says the womb, your mind is the womb for the Word to get into. But here's the point. If it just stays there, it will cause death. Because you'll just stick with an intellectual experience, brother, sister, and you'll never get to the power of God in that word. There was a prophecy, go forth. I'll send my messenger before my face. He'll make the mountains low. He'll bring the crooked places straight. And how many Jews believe that intellectually? And they saw this mighty man who just waved his hand. And instead of Moses taking a rod and splitting the Red Sea, he was pushing the dirt over and making the river straight again. Come to find out, they found a man that didn't take baths, Brother Kent. And ate bugs. And had one message. Repent! They come to find some deep doctrine out of John. You ever watched that before? You know what? They came and said, what should we do? Said to the police officers of the day. Don't take any bribes. Do your job. Some lawyers came. What should we do? If you got two coats, share one. That's what we teach little kids. Share. Great prophet of God. That's what he's teaching. Yes. Why? It's the life behind the name, brother, sister. Hallelujah. Do you know the devil intellectually believes God? I'm going to read you a few scriptures. You can turn there if you're really quick. Just seeing who was going to try to test me there, but that's all right. James 2:19 says this, thou believest, James 2:19, thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Look up the word believe. It means the same thing as what it means for a believer to believe. Because they know there's a God. You know why? He kicked them out of heaven. That's why they're deceivers, brother, sister. They go to sinners and they deceive them in thinking there's not a God. Because if they can get them to believe there's not a God, then there can't be a devil. And then they can't do anything because the devil, they don't even believe he's there when he is. So the devil can do as he pleases. Of course he will. Hallelujah. Another one down here, 1 Corinthians 2:7, says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. I'll get to that in a minute. Which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So though they know there's a God, though they know there's one God, though some of the devils said, you're the Holy One of God, they still had no revelation, because had they had revelation, they would have known that the Word already declared that if they kill this man, their kingdom is gone. Amen. But they missed it. Why? It was all intellectual revelation. That's death, brother, sister. It's so close, it can deceive the very elect. It's right here in the message, brother, sister. There's plenty of people who can get their doctrine straight up with quote after quote after quote after quote, scripture after scripture, but when you break it down, there's absolutely no power behind it. Amen. If the sick stay sick, there's something wrong with us, brother, sister. If the captive stay captive, if our experience is just as dry, dead as the world, something's wrong. Amen. You might be a good intellectual believer, but God has called us to a higher life than that, brother, sister. We're in the age of perfection. Hallelujah. Jesus said, be ye perfect as your Father is perfect. That's pretty high quota. But then you read between the lines, He made us perfect. How much do I got to miss this, brother? Well, let me read that. Statutes of Man, 1962. And miss, the word sin, S-I-N. Sin means to miss the mark. Miss the mark. Just in case you don't believe that, because a lot of people are skeptics anymore. Looked it up in the Greek lexicon, and sure, strong. E-266, which is hamartia. It means sin, which means to miss the mark, to err, be mistaken, to be without a share in, to miss or to wander from the path of uprightness and honor, to go, to do or to go wrong. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Said to miss the mark. Then if I'm shooting a target, drive an attack at 50 yards, if I shoot, take my gun down and shoot and I miss it 4 or 5 inches, what's happened? My gun needs tuning up. There's something wrong. And if I miss faith in God, if I miss being a Christian, God puts you here to be a Christian. Oh, I got to say that one again. God puts you here to be a Christian. If you're off on one side, come back and get tuned up. And there's only one thing can tune you up. That's the Scripture. The Holy Spirit in the Scripture. Tune you, bring you directly onto target again. That's right, brother, sister. Now, this concept of looking between the lines, many scoffers say that Brother Branham's the only one that does that. But if you look in the Bible itself, even some of the interpretations that the apostles took from the Old Testament, you can say are between the lines.
Sure.
We just told you about John. There's no direct thing that says John is going to come and wear sheepskin and baptize anyone. You find it. But what is it? Between the lines, you see the character of God, and He did everything that the promise said He would do. Amen. Turn with me now. I'm going to read you a few examples here. John chapter 2. All these that I'm talking about are in the book of John. Why? Because John types the bride. John's the one that saw between the lines. I'm going to give you a few examples before I give it all away. Just talking here. Praise His name. John chapter 2. Praise His holy name. He's worthy tonight, brother, sister. John chapter 2, verse 13. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when He had made a scourge of small cords, He drove them all out of the temple and the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables. And He said unto them that sold the doves, take these things hence and make not My Father's house a house of merchandise. And His disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. So there's the Scriptures. The disciples, this is the one time I think they catch it. I think all the other times they missed it. But they got it one time here. And they said, they remembered that the Bible said, the zeal of thine house has eaten me up. What does that say? Turn over the tables and kick things out.
Right.
Said, make My house, this house known as a house of prayer to all nations. That word was sitting there. But between that word and the zeal of My house has eaten me up was a deacon there on the day when they were trying to sell merchandise in the house of God and they beat out the tables. Come on now. Kicked it all out and said, you've missed something. Hallelujah. Spit on my own glasses. How in the world did you do that? Don't get looking at my glasses. Look for the word tonight, brother, sister. But between the word there, do you see? Have a revelation of the Spirit or it never will make sense. That's why the Jews had no idea. They were furious when Jesus did this. Why? Because they're doing a God-ordained thing. They're trying to help people get to church. Come on now. They're trying to help them give the right offering. But the problem is they were using a sinful means to get the work of God done. And it's not accepted before God.
That's right.
Turn to John now. John chapter 7. I told you all these are going to be in John. John another time. Now this is one he picked up after the fact. But John chapter 7, verse 37. Praise His name. John 7, 37 says this, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto Me and drink. He that believeth on Me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And without this message, brothers and sisters, I'm going to stop right there and I'll read the next scripture here in a minute. Without this message, the book of Revelation, you'll go and take it literally. And you can do the same thing right here. Wait a minute. You said you believed the Messiah. He said you'd have rivers of water out of your belly. I don't see no water.
Right.
Where is it at? Come on. Jesus was quoting the Scriptures. They said He was saying He was the Messiah. So I guarantee He was looking at the other believers. the scoffers were, saying, wait, he just said that the scripture said they'd have waters flowing out of their belly. So they watched them for a while, and before they knew it, there was no water coming out of their belly. What's going on? They were looking at the lines, not between the lines. Because the next scripture, next verse, but this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Why? The disciple could see the revelation of what Jesus was saying. Now, he had to wait a while till the day of Pentecost, but it happened, brother, sister. They get communion, right? They went up to the Last Supper, had no idea what was going on. They were still arguing, what's the rising of the dead mean? There's got to be... See, that's when they were trying to look between the lines, when it was right there on the lines. Well, does that mean this spiritual thing? No, that would contradict what he said. If you look between the lines and come up with a conclusion that's different than the lines, you're wrong. Why? There was still, look, this isn't just a trinkle now. When he said that this scripture's, you know, the rivers are well living water, the interpretation that that's the Spirit. Come on now. Some people believe you get the Spirit and it's just a little trinkle. You're reading between the lines and getting it wrong with the lines. The line says it's a well of living water bubbling up out of you, brother, sister. And don't tell me you get the Holy Ghost and got no joy nowhere in your experience. Can't find no peace. You need to back the train and get the real thing, because the Bible said it's a river of living water. It's an artesian well, as the prophet of God said. Don't need no pumping. Don't need no revivals. It just is a revival. Why? It uses the natural laws to create pressure to bring the revival out. But we don't want the pressure, do we? We don't want trials. God help us, brother, sister. I figured out I misnamed my children. Do you know that? My little daughter right there screams about the whole time she's in her car seat. Should have named her Virtue, because that's what God's making in me. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Should have named that boy Knowledge, because he goes around, he'll say certain things, before I know it, he done duped me over. Who did that, Wesley? Where? How? And he got a pretty convincing argument. God help me to have spiritual discernment. And y'all know what Wesley back there, God love him, I love him too. He's both. He's temperance and patience. I love my children. We all know that that's part of the reason they're given, brother, sister. It's for us parents. That's right. God help was to not resist that, but say, Lord, thank you. Amen. Hallelujah. You getting any revelation tonight, brother, sister? Turn over now. Now, there was another time, John 21, where the disciples were trying to pick up on this. And if you do that intellectually, you'll fail again. It's never intellectually. It's God said it. I know he said it. And if God says it, it happens, brother, sister. Amen. Too many people say, the Lord told me this. They go do it, nothing happens. The Lord didn't tell you.
That's right.
Sorry. You told yourself. There was a time they asked Jesus a question. Let's just read this. And they were trying to read between the lines, and they totally missed what Jesus was trying to say. John 21, verse 20. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which had also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. So the whole point of what Jesus is trying to say is going to be completely different to what the disciples come up with.
Right.
Verse 23, then went this saying abroad among the brethren, that the disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, he shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Why? They said, okay, Jesus, you said John is going to tarry until you come. We know that when you come back, we're going to live eternally from then on. So if John is going to live till you come back, that means he can never die, because the millennium and everything's going to be here. He's going to live forever then.
Sure.
So he'll never die. Right. And this saying went abroad, brother, sister. Why? They're trying to look between the lines, and they missed the lines.
Right.
Who's to know, brother? It just said it went abroad, and where did it stop?
Yeah.
What do you think happened to some people's faith when John died? Where's the coming of the Lord? Some people did that with Brother Branham. Some people did that with 77, 2000, 2012. Maybe there's some with Perry Green now. God rest his soul. And no mean no disrespect by that. I thank God for a man that stood with the Word year in and year out. What was Jesus trying to tell him? Complete opposite of what they wanted. They wanted to say, what's this man going to do? I want to get involved in his life. And Jesus saying, no, you and me. quit worrying about John. Quit worrying about brother so-and-so. What about you, brother, sister? When's the last time you were led by the Spirit? Come on. When's the last? What was his commandment? The same thing he started with way back when he first called him. Follow thou me. Not them, not us, now me, the one true living God, the only written word. Follow me and forget everything else. Amen. Pastor, priest, don't care, brother, sister. Follow him.
Amen.
Amen. God help us. How am I going to figure this out then, brother Andrew? It's so hard. You don't figure it out. You get the Holy Ghost and he will make it come alive.
Amen,
Amen, brother, sister. How many people in the world have any clue what Enoch was doing? Come on now. All it said was Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him.
That's right.
We had a prophet named Paul come on the scene. Most people don't think it's Paul, but we know it's Paul. Praise God for a message. Paul had said he was translated. Yeah. Yep. Means he never even saw death. He never tasted it. We had a message coming this day, said that's just a type of you and I, brother, sister. Talk about Abraham. Come on now. Read them between the lines. Brother Branham talks about that all the time. That's about the main example he uses, isn't it? That in order for an old woman that's well stricken in age, there has to be a change to the physical body, or there's no way that woman can have a baby.
Right.
And what was God? He was typing out what he would do with our bodies. He made them young again.
Sure.
He didn't make them glorified.
Right.
He made them young again. Come on now. See how you can look too far into the lines and you mess up the whole picture of God.
Right.
A lot of people thinking that the restoration is the resurrection. And that messes up everything. It's the down payment to the resurrection. The restoration is already here, brother, sister. That's right. The word is restored. We are to be sons and daughters of God. Now, the Bible already told us that. Now are we the sons of God. So what you can do, listen now. You can take something like Statue of Perfect Man, that you're building up the perfect man, which is the Son of God, and you and I. And he said, well, until I get to here, I'm not a son of God yet. Until this happens, then I'm a son of God. Until I do this. Yeah, there was a man who had that doctrine. Didn't turn out too well for him. Great master, what must I do to inherit eternal life?
Amen.
Didn't work, did it? Thank God, too, because people try to look between the lines even in that story. That's where you get Jehovah's Witness doctrine. There ain't even a hell. Yet Jesus, it's not a parable. Go watch it. When he talks about it, he said there was a man who was in hell. And he lifted his eyes in torment.
That's right.
He didn't say it was a parable. And even if it is a parable, you make a parable of a story of things that could actually happen. It doesn't make sense to make a parable about Frankenstein on an alien planet because it has no meaning, brother, sister. How in the world am I going to figure? Man, I'm already losing my voice. Y'all going to pull tonight? We have a good time in the Lord. So, well, I can't say amen if you tell me to. I didn't tell you to. He told you to. What is the? What did Brother Branham say? He said, if you can't say amen to every word of God. Well, I believe it in my heart. No, no, no. If you do, it ought to come out of your mouth. Because that's what Jesus said. Unless you're a hypocrite. Come on. That's what he called out the Pharisees for. He says he knew their hearts. Said, it's all wicked and evil. Why are you saying good things? Why are you even lying to me? I know in your heart you're evil. Well, if you're a Christian, you know in your heart you love God. And you love the Word and you believe it. Go ahead and let that come out of your mouth instead of all your doubts and fears and frustrations.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I'm going to take a drink real quick. Go ahead and praise the Lord a little while. That's all right.
Thank you, Lord. Oh, how wonderful to have our eyes.
Thank you, Lord. Probably from teaching today. You know, I actually talked for a while. God help my voice. If you look at the New Testament, there's three main writers, and there's others too, but Paul, Peter, and John, I would say, are the three main people that wrote in the New Testament. Do you know all three of them say that we need the revelation of Jesus Christ? We need the revelation of Jesus Christ. Not the knowledge. Come on, now that's not enough. Not the understanding. We need a revelation. What is a revelation? It's an uncovering. That's exactly what it means, which means there is something there of substance. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. But that was hidden before. But then the revelation comes, it strips it off, and you can see what it is.
Amen.
A lot of people got faith that's fiction. The Bible said faith is a substance of things hoped for. Faith is more real of a substance than my hand sitting right here. This is made more of air than it is of matter. Do you know that, brother, sister? You can't even explain matter. Just forget even trying. But faith is more real than that, brother. Faith is more. If you'll just let go of your flesh for a little while and say, Lord, I'm going to listen to what the Spirit says within me, you'll begin to realize that what God has said is more real than what we with natural eyes. Amen. The Bible said we walk by faith, not by sight. Give me more Christians that actually do that.
That's right.
I don't know how I'm going to pay my bills. I don't know how I'm going to do this. I don't know why I have to do these things. Brother, sister, follow, thou me. Forget anything. Follow the revelation God's given you.
Amen. Amen.
Paul says, that's Galatians 1:12. For I neither received it of men, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1:13, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope unto the end, for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. John 1, or Revelations 1:1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him. Let me skip down now. Out of the church age book. Oh, how we need revelation by the Spirit. We don't need a new Bible. We don't need a new translation. Though some are very good, but and I'm not against them in all capital letters now, but we need the revelation of the Spirit. And can I apply it to us? We don't need voice of God to go find another message somewhere. Now, thank God if they do. You know, I honor their sincerity, but the revelation's already there.
Amen. Amen.
And thank God, I'm reading now, and thank God we can have what we need, for God wants to reveal His Word to us by His Spirit. May God begin by His Spirit to give us continuous,
yes, Lord,
life-giving and prevailing revelation. Oh, if the church could only get a fresh revelation, become by it the living Word manifested, we would do the greater works and glorify God our Father in heaven.
Amen.
Brother, sister, you're never going to get away from it. I might feel like a broken record, but I do not care. You need the revelation of who He is.
Amen.
And if you get the revelation of who Jesus Christ is, that will in turn give you a revelation of who you are.
Amen.
And without that revelation in this age, you will never see a translation. But you'll never get it by education. You won't get it by a certain special preacher or even a dull preacher. I don't care. If you get it from anywhere, it'll be because you've got the Holy Ghost. And God speaks to you through that. If not, you'll go to one or two lines. You'll stay on the line so much you can't see what it was really trying to say. Come on. Or you'll look between the lines so much you done left the lines.
Amen.
It's time for us to quit trying to figure this out. That young man I was talking about that I was witnessing to, been trying, didn't have a whole lot of time to work with him, but he was saying that, you know, he used to be real bad. Now he's kind of okay, and he's trying to line his life up right. And that's an honorable thing. I believe his intentions are right, but his methods will not get the results.
Right.
You can't make yourself good. You're not good.
Right.
There's nothing good about you. You know what you need to do with you in the world now? Kill him. You don't need a reformation. You need a slaughter and a burial. Go ahead and have a funeral and make the man dead. Hallelujah. Don't resurrect him. Don't talk to a dead man. You're crazy if you talk to a dead man. Don't bring a dead man back to life. Don't fuss with a dead man. There's no reason to do any of that, brother, sister. I read a title, Brother Bram preached. I was going to find it, but he says, casting out devils by casting out unbelief. That's about it right there. Because if you get rid of the means that the devil can use, you've defeated him.
Amen.
That's what the millennium's all about. The devil ain't destroyed yet, but he's so bound because he's got nothing to work through.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Well, brother, how am I going to do this? Let me show you how simple it is. Christ's mystery of God revealed, 1963. What is the new birth then? You say, well, Brother Branham, what is the new birth? It is the revelation of Jesus Christ personally to you.
Amen.
Amen. See, now you joined the church, you shook a hand, you done something different, you said a creed, you promised to live by a code of rules. God, help us to not fall into the same trap that the prophet told us not to walk into.
Amen.
Come on, now you're not saved, sis, because you wear skirts and let your hair grow. Brother, you're not saved because you believe the message intellectually. Say, Lord, it's because of the grace of God you have brought me the revelation of who I am.
Amen.
That I'm not a sinner.
Right.
Hallelujah. Before I even sinned, I was a saint.
Yes.
Why? I was a part of you, Lord.
Amen.
One of these days, I might actually sing, and I was singing at home today. I think we should do that a little bit more often. I felt pretty good this afternoon. That there's not going to be a rapture without me.
Amen.
Right.
That moment when I will go free.
Amen.
My eyes will be open.
and I'll see that, yes, oh Lord, I'm a part of thee. I wrote that without even knowing what I know today. Why? Because the Spirit always doesn't contradict the Word. It always stays with the Word.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God, help us to take all of our experiences. God, help me tonight. Hallelujah.
Praise Jesus. Yes, Lord. Love you,
Lord. That if it lines up with the Word, brother, sister, put your whole heart into it. Yes. Don't ever give up on a promise of God. I don't care what people come up with. Say, well, it looks a little between the lines. I don't care. Hannah asked for a child. Isn't that right? I guarantee if a sister getting the same channel of the Word and want a child from God, she'll get a child from God.
Amen.
Amen. I just read that here not too long ago. I don't really know why I said that, but praise the Lord anyhow. What really got me started on this is the word doctrine. I just happened to find it somehow. I can't really tell you how. Excuse me. But I was able to find where Jeff Jenkins is still preaching now. He's got his own, I don't know, Bible study or something. Didn't really look like a service to me, God help me. I'm not trying to be critical, but ain't no power there. Only one of you believe that, but that's okay. Last I checked, the apostles didn't put up with that nonsense. He was trying to explain what doctrine was. And of course, they make the message come out to be something that's just, we're just overcomplicating things. We're making everything these mysterious truths, and it's so difficult, and we're hiding it, and we're masking it. He said, you know, Brother Branham would say that the bleedy Word died for us. Isn't that right? It's the bleedy, bloody Word of the Son of God. And he said, it's not the bleedy Word that died for you. It was Jesus Christ. Okay? You and I look at each other like, yeah, you're stupid, right? Because we have a revelation, brother, sister. He'll say, because what is he trying to say? He's trying to think that we're saying that this physical word here, as far as written words down on a page, that we're saying that this died for us. We're saying that the man that is the Word died for us. And the Bible said that. The Word was made flesh. So I have to say the Word made flesh died for us. I can't say the Word died for us. But see, if you try to make the Word made flesh, not the Word, which is what he's doing, I don't have to follow what the Bible says by letter because the letter killed, the Spirit gives life. That sounds awful mighty nice, but the Spirit only gives life to the Word.
Amen.
That's right. It won't give life to something that ain't the Word.
Amen.
Why? Because the Word is God.
Amen.
And the Word was with God. Hallelujah. I believe I was dancing there, Dad, with the Word that was God and the Word that was with God because I was the one with Him.
Amen.
Hallelujah. There ain't two, three gods. There was one God, but He was a man and in Him was a woman and the man died for the woman. Hallelujah. That's what I'm so happy about, brother, sister. Everybody's trying to figure out John 1:1, aren't they? Oh, it's so hard. Why does it say that? God comes around and shows us it's as simple as anything. Any child could understand this. Go back and read Genesis again. He called their name Adam.
Amen.
And the day that they were created, not the year, not the month, the day. Why? They're made at the same time.
Amen.
Male and female, yet you only saw one man for a while. But one day, the fullness of time came, and God saw a need, and He pulled out a woman to help the man. Oh, brother, sister, you don't understand how humble this God is. Can God create Himself a way that He has a need? How big is this God? That's why Brother Branham said it over and over again. The reason He's so big is because He can make Himself so humble. He doesn't have to. That's why the devil can't figure Him out. Said, no way. That guy that was up on the throne busting everybody around, telling them what's going to be, that angels had to come and put their faces like this, couldn't even look at them. He's letting the devil just, all these little demons I got over there, push Him around. Huh, that can't be right. He's letting them mock Him in His face, say all kinds of evil about Him falsely. That just doesn't work out right. But it was the same God all the time. Hope I didn't confuse you there, but He's the same yesterday, day, and forever, brother, sister. If you look, every time the apostles, every time Jesus tried to preach true doctrine, doctrine is in between the lines. But here's the proof of doctrine. Doctrine isn't words, it's power.
Amen.
Let me say that again. Doctrine is not words, it's power. This is why the early Christians, you know what? They were respected. They were revered and they were feared. Come on now. Because people knew these people hear from God. Now, we know that God will eventually take his hands off and let things come to pass that needs to come to pass. God didn't have to let Paul go get his head chopped off. God didn't have to let Peter get crucified. Come on now. He didn't have to die himself. He didn't have to let our prophet get in a wreck and die. But God does that to mask that you think it wasn't that man. It was the word that was in him that you missed.
Amen.
Come on now. Why was that people knew when Ananias and Sapphira came and tried to lie to apostles, they walked out dead. Or actually, they didn't walk out dead. They fell down dead is what I meant to say. And they walked them out and put them in a grave. Let me finish that quote I said earlier. What is the new birth then? You'd say, well, Brother Branham, what is the new birth? It is the revelation of Jesus Christ personally to you. Remember what I just said? It's power. The real revelation is power behind it. Power behind the word that you say. Amen. See, not you join a church, you shook a hand, you done something different, you said a creed, you promise to live by a code of rules, but Christ, the Bible, he is the word that was revealed to you. And no matter what anybody says, what takes place, it's Christ.
Amen.
Pastor, priest, whatever it might be, it's Christ in you. Right. That is the revelation that the church was built upon. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says this, for the preaching of the cross is to them which perish foolishness, but to unto us which are saved, it is the power of God.
Amen.
Let me read you this. Luke 4:32, just one scripture and then I want you to turn to one. He says, and they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. Brother, sister, that's where the message as a whole, I think we all need to back up for a minute and say, wait a minute. If I have true God-given doctrine, it has to have the power of God behind it.
Right.
Come on now. The prophet God was no exception. He'd get done preaching, what would he say? If God will come and vindicate, this is the word, and if not, I'm a prophet. Did God ever fail him? Of course not. Why, that prophet knew where he stood. God help us to realize, I've received the Holy Ghost. You've received the Holy Ghost. You've been given the down payment to all redemptive blessings. Come on now.
Amen.
You've been given a revelation of who you are. That means you are led by the Spirit because you're the sons of God.
Amen.
That means when the Holy Ghost moves on you, I thank God that we know that he moves on us, brother. You got to know how he moves on you. Even this young man I was talking to, he said, sometimes I need to just go pray because I'll go pray and I just feel this presence, you know, or just this feeling comes over me. Things are better when you pray. God help us.
Amen.
Here's a boy don't know a lick of Bible, but he knows what happens when he prays. Come on now.
Amen.
Mark 1. I'll try to wrap up here soon. I don't know if I got much voice to go on too much longer. But Jesus Christ is having his way, so it's worth it. Don't you love him tonight? He's such a good God to us. I'll tell you what. Mark 1, verse 21. And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught. And taught, okay? A teacher, a God-given, Holy Ghost-filled teacher. What it really means in the Bible. Let's read the next verse. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as one of the scribes. Brother, sister, don't act ignorant. Don't go like this and say that don't happen. When all we got is PowerPoints that never got no power behind it, it's not pointing to no power.
Amen.
Not a very good PowerPoint, is it? God help us to realize it's got to have authority behind it. It's got to be the word of this age. Come on now.
Amen.
What did it do, though, brother, sister? It astonished them. Why? They weren't used to this kind of preaching. They were used to the good preachers get up there, the scribes, and say, turn to the book of Isaiah and teach a good moral lesson. And say, let's all be good. Let's be friends. But if somebody's an adulterer, let's stone them. Tithe on cunnum and mitt and everything else, but I can stone people's money back here and don't have to worry about that because God don't see all that. Just read or watch the thing about televangelism. What a mockery it's become, brother, sister. That's reading between the lines, way off the line. You ever watch what they do? Faith is a seed. You're right. They'll say, take your money and plant it in. You're wrong. It's not faith and money, brother, sister. The Bible says you can't serve God and mammon. Which is money of the world, which is the things of the world. We know the root of all evil is the love of money.
Right.
Amen. You can't plant something that you know is tied to sin in just way too many ways and think that faith is going to work through that. And to think, feel bad for these poor deceived people. Well, we got a message that shows us you don't put faith in money. You put faith in God. Amen. We had a man of God who could have made millions, brother, sister, a lot better than these phonies on TV. Yeah, right. Come on now. They handed him checks. Said, thank you because I actually got healed. And that should prove to you right now that life is more valuable than any amount of money you'll ever have. 5 minutes of your time is worth $10 billion. Why? Because it's just life. It's just the proof that life is everything, brother, sister. But I've got eternal life. I've got the pearl of great price. Hallelujah. When you have real doctrine, what will it do to unbelievers? It's going to astonish them. Why? Because it doesn't sound like the same old boring ritual. Because the Word has power behind it. And not just power, I feel the power, I'm shaking. I'm talking about devils move. Amen. I'm talking about sick people get healed. Amen. Devil-possessed people get delivered. Right. Are you afraid of a devil, though?
Oh, no.
Come on now. That's right. You need some boldness behind your experience. But that's why we got to get the sin question settled today. That He died for my sin.
That's right.
He became me that I could become Him. All right, let me keep finishing there. I don't mean to keep going off like that. Verse 22, and they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had tore him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed. They still can't get their mind around of this. They were astonished that he taught like he actually meant what he was saying. Then here's a devil showing up, and the devil's begging for mercy. Come on now. And the devil's doing what he's saying, and they're still looking at it like, is this even happening? Yep. And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, what thing is this? What new doctrine is this? What? The doctrine came off the pages? What's up with that? We're supposed to just say these quotes and feel good about ourselves, but never see the quotes come alive. Too much doctrines get stuck that way. For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. Turn with me now. 2 Corinthians 10. Here's another group that tried to take the line too literally and didn't look between the line. 2 Corinthians 10. More of a Bible study tonight. I hope that's okay.
Yep.
2 Corinthians 10 and verse 7. Do you look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trusts to himself that he is Christ, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so are we Christ. For though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord hath given us for edification, and not for your destruction, I should not be ashamed, that I may not seem as if I would terrify you by letters. For as letters, say they, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible. Lest such a one think this, that such as we are in word by letters when we are absent, such will we be also in deed when we are present. What had they done? They had taken Paul's authority, they'd taken this, and they've done it with Brother Branham, they do it with me, they do it with any preacher that takes a stand on the word. You're just arrogant. You're just proud. You're just stuck up. You're just trying to say you're the only man that's got anything. No, I'm telling you the truth.
Right.
And he said that, you know, these letters, they were afraid of him. Like, man, what is this man going to do? He's going to tear us up. He's probably 6'5", 250 pounds.
Right.
Whatever. He's going to come and beat us all up and get us in line. What happened when he came? A little stoop shoulder, hook-nosed you.
Right.
Shut up there. And he went to preach and he stuttered a little bit. He said, my speech was contemptible. He had times where he'd think, what was I trying to say again? Let me go back here. Let me say that. Let me warn. He looked weak. Why? Because he had an infirmity of some sort. I don't like arguing about it. But we know he had a messenger of the enemy. And God allowed it. He had a pack of physician with him to keep him going. I love that when they stoned him, he was laying there dead. His disciples had to come get him out of the pile of stones. Actually had to push a few off and say, look, guys, I'm alive. Get me out of here. He was weak in bodily presence. Why? Because he said, when I am weak, then I'm strong. He said, you think I'm trying to terrify you by letters? No, I'm not. I'm just trying to tell you the truth. Let such one as think that the power that I presented, what you're trying to give me as being arrogant, look at it as the power of God. Because when I come, I'll do it indeed. You understand? It'll be the life that's coming out of me. You'll know it's not me because there's nothing in me coming out. It's Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. You're looking at the revelation of Jesus Christ. He said, I didn't learn it in a school. I didn't learn it from apostles before me. I was taught it by God Himself. Amen. Oh, but God can't do that no more. He only did it for Paul. Okay, now you're looking between the lines again. That ain't nowhere. Come on now. Hope you're getting revelation. 1 Corinthians, and I'll try to wrap this up. 1 Corinthians 2:4. I told you we come back to this, and I'll try to finish on it. Excuse me. 1 Corinthians 2:4. In my speech, actually, I'm just going to start at verse 1 so you can get the whole picture. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. But remember what I tried to say earlier, that doctrine has power behind it. So power goes along with doctrine. We're not jellyfish, brother, sister. I'm not saying you don't need to know the Word. You need to know the Word. You need to know that it told you sisters to dress holy. Absolutely. But you need a power behind it to get it to live in your life. Come on, you know it said we should pray at all times, lifting up holy hands. But you got to get a revelation of power behind that to get it to work in your life. Amen. Come on now. And Paul's saying, I didn't come with enticing words of man's wisdom. I didn't bring some fancy sermon. I didn't do this, that, or the other thing. But he didn't say he wasn't trying to give them wisdom. Keep reading. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Brother, sister, God help us to realize how powerful revelation really is in our life. How many times do you ask God for revelation? We'll try to bypass that. Why? Because we'll look at some little trinket thing in our life. He said, God, help me to overcome this and blah, with no revelation of the Spirit to back it up. That the Word said, I'm already delivered. Yes, you understand me, brother? I'm not that. Right. Because if you identify with it, you'll stay it. Yeah. But if you recognize that that's not me, this flesh isn't me. Brother Bram said, people are far too superstitious. Remember? Because when the woman died, remember, Billy Paul didn't want nothing to do with it. He said, everybody's superstitious. It's just a shell. It's a piece of dirt with that had a life in it. The life's gone. All we're doing is calling that life back into this body. And brother, sister, that life came from God. It's Zoe. It's God's own life. That's the mystery Paul is trying to get him. See, the hidden wisdom that you are in God. So when you come here in flesh to be tempted and tried, hallelujah, that flesh body's already defeated. You're not that. Paul was doing that. He was looking between the lines and yes, I sin every day. Yet it's not me that sins. Hallelujah. It's sin that dwelleth in me. I have two laws in me. The law of the flesh and the law of the mind. The law of the Spirit. Come on, brother, sister. But if I was a real Christian, I'd just have the law of the Spirit. You try to tell me Paul didn't have the Holy Ghost? That got real quiet, brother, sister. You have to recognize God didn't call us to a picnic. He called us to a war. Amen. And you want to know when you stop fighting? When we leave. Amen. Last I checked, I still see y'all. Uh-huh. We're still here. Amen. That means we got work to do till Jesus comes. Amen. Amen. Brother, sister, I think you understand what we're trying to get tonight. That God has given us a message. Why? It isn't to change the Word. It isn't to find something else. If what you see between the lines contradicts what the lines say, you didn't hear from God. If you take a quote, listen to me now, and you go to read the Bible and say, wait a minute, the Bible said something else, you didn't hear the quote right. And too many preachers didn't do that. And what happened? They ran off on a tangent. And before you know it, polygamy is okay again. Before you know it, we got to build up the statue of permanent man somehow, even though we don't have a spirit yet, because that's all the way up there. So how in the world am I going to do it?
Right.
Come on now. Some of us believe some of that stuff for a while. What do we find out? There was no power in the doctrine, so it's not the doctrine of Christ.
Amen.
Because his power, that was the definition of his doctrine. What was astonishing them? There's power and there's authority in his doctrine.
Amen.
And he's not even raising his voice. Some people think you got to scream a devil out. No, you need to know who you are. Now, you can still scream a devil out sometimes. All right? So he got cords. We talked about that earlier. And whipped devils out of the... Come on. They were in people, but he was whipping them out of the church.
Amen.
Come on, brother, sister. And we ought to live such a life that if a person, if they're sinning and they want to get free, there should be deliverance in that.
Amen.
If they're a sinner and don't want to get free, they ought to hate your guts. We don't like that, but do you want third pole faith or not? I want to speak things into existence, Brother Kent, but I sure don't want to preach to no eternally lost. They're both the third pole. Jesus came to the third pole. He did the greatest miracle there ever was. He raised his own body from the dead, which had all the attributes of God in it. Come on now. He was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He raised him from the dead. But what did he do before he, or when he went down to hell? Remember, he preached to souls that were already wandering around lost in prison, didn't know what was going on. He said, look, you didn't turn down Noah. You turned down me. You didn't turn down Samuel. You turned down me. You didn't turn down David. It was me. And the theologians of this day trying to read the lines, they can't figure out who God is. They'll say he's the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. He's three different persons in one. Okay? Which one's Melchizedek? See, the Father? Kinda. The Son? Kinda. Holy Ghost? Kinda. Which one is he? Who's the man that wrestled Jacob?
Yep.
See the Father? See the Son? See the Holy Ghost? Who is he? Who is the angel that did wondrously before the messenger and went up in the fire with Manoah, which was Samson's father? And they fell down and said, we've seen God face to face. Who is that? That's why Brother Branham, when he preached, who is this Melchizedek? That is the Godhead, brother, sister.
Yeah.
Go back, if that confused you at all, go back and listen to that again and realize, because you'll say, you know, Melchizedek had no father and mother. Jesus had a father and mother. You think, well, that means he's not Jesus. You didn't hear it right, brother. It was God, the Word, the theophany. Before the foundation, he was there. Don't ask me to explain it. You can't explain it. The atheist can't explain it. They'll say, oh, nothing blew up and here we are. I prefer that God was there. I guess that makes a little bit more sense to me. But it's nothing come out of something. I believe there always was something. But don't ask me to explain it. There's no way to explain it. There's no way to wrap your mind around eternity, around never stopping, never starting. Try that. Try that for a minute. You can't do it, can you? You're trying. You're putting your head and you go back far, far, far. You say, there's got to be something. No, there wasn't. He just was. Not was. He just is. And he was there. He wanted to be tangible. Can we believe that tonight?
Yes, sir.
That God wants you to feel him. He wants you to know that he's through every far. Remember, he said he's not very far from any of us. But we live and we breathe and we move because God is there.
Right.
And he was there. He became the Logos so that the angels could see him. He created angels to worship a form that they could see. Hallelujah. He called that to word. Yet in that word was all of us, brother, sister.
Amen.
I believe with all my heart. That word decided to come down and be flesh to meet with Abraham, didn't it?
Amen.
Created a body just like he did Adam out of the dust of the earth and walked into it. Another day he did the same thing. He wanted to wrestle Jacob. There he was. He wanted to go meet Joshua and see how he was doing. So he brought his sword that time.
Right.
Come on now. And see how much easier that makes sense. But that God still did put a into Mary and create a body out of a woman and then stepped in it himself. Not because he had to, because he wanted to.
Uh-huh.
And to think, brother, sister, that he didn't ask us. He didn't have a conference with us. He loved us so much before you could talk him out of it, he went ahead and did it.
Yeah.
Thank God for his grace tonight. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. You appreciate the Lord?
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Speak, my Lord. think most of y'all know this, just the chorus, or the first verse, and then we'll sing the chorus, 92F. Hallelujah. Let's just worship and praise Him tonight. Did you hear from God?
Amen.
Amen. Say, Lord, I want the revelation in my heart. I want life-giving, continuous revelation that You're living in me. You're going to have to help me. Hear the Lord of harvest sweetly calling. Who will go and work for me today? Who will bring to me the lost and dying? Yes, Lord. Who will point them to the narrow way? Aren't you happy?
Making him as pure can be.
Thank you, Lord. That's what the blood's done for us.
When the voice of God said, who go for us? Then he answered, here am I, send me.
Yes, Lord.
Speak, my Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Speak, my Lord. Speak, and I will answer. Lord, send me.
Millions now.
Millions now in sin and shame are dying. Listen to the sad and bitter cry.
Help us, Lord, tonight.
Oh, hasten, brother, hasten to their rescue. Quickly answer, Master, here am I.
Yes, Lord.
Speak, my Lord. Speak, my Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
And I'll be quick to answer thee. Speak, my Lord. Speak, my Lord. Speak, and I will answer. Lord, send me.
One more verse here.
Soon the time for reaping will over. Soon we'll gather for the harvest.
Oh, aren't you happy, brother, sister? Thank you, Lord.
May the Lord of harvest smile upon us.
Yes, Lord.
May we hear His blessed child, well done.
Yes, credit, Lord.
Speak, my Lord.
Let's all bow our heads together tonight. Before His presence, do you believe He's here now? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. sweet homeland presence that you feel here isn't me, brother. And it's not you and I as far as the flesh, but it's the Holy Ghost that's here amongst us. And He comes to do great and wonderful things. Is there anything else you want to hear besides, look, you know, child, well done, my good and faithful servant? Brother, you're predestinated to that if you've got the Holy Ghost tonight. You know in your heart you've got it. Don't let the devil talk you out of it. All he's trying to do is get you to miss the mark. That's all he wants from you. That's the definition of sin, is to miss the mark. He'll tell everyone in the world that they've got it when they don't. Then he'll come to you and tell you don't got it when you do. So how can that be? The only way to do it is for letting the devil make you lose your mind. That's right, brother, sister. He's done duped you so long, you forgot you even had a baby in the first place. But if you know, brother, sister, you've been born again from the Spirit of God. Remember what Isaiah did. He wasn't afraid of his sin no more. He said, the coals touched me. I'm cleansed. God said my iniquity's purged. When he heard the voice say, go preach for me, he said, here am I, I'll do it, Lord. Is there anyone who say, Lord, forgive me for slacking in my commission as a Christian? That, Lord, I'm not going. I know you lead me to talk to this person, and I just bypass it. It was a time to witness there, and if one reason or another, brother, sister, it's still in belief. Speak the word in boldness. God bless you, brother, sister. Don't put faith behind that hand. You've got the authority of God. You've got the true doctrine that when you repent, there's power to forgive you. Hallelujah. When you get right with God, there's power to restore you back to fellowship. God doesn't want you out of fellowship. That's why the Holy Ghost is here now, to bring us back to fellowship. Hallelujah. God bless each one. I appreciate your sincerity. I know God does. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Had another person one time tell me, you know, Brother Branham said you ought to be in church every time the doors are open. And he said, but look, you got to look between the lines. Church means wherever he is, so I just need to be with him at any time the doors are open. I said, what foolishness have we come to? Brother, sister, aren't you happy you got the Holy Ghost tonight? Holy Ghost keeps you away from that nonsense. If you've got the Holy Ghost, that didn't faze you one bit. I said, that's ridiculous, because the Word said we ought to gather together. Amen. And you can take it, we go every other different direction. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Are you sick in body? Are you afflicted? With every head bowed. Just an atmosphere of prayer. That's why I like to do this, brother, sister, so that our faith will get off other things. We're here for a purpose right now. If there's anyone that's got a sickness or affliction and you'd like to come for prayer, I'd be happy to pray with you. You've got a whole group of people here that are believing too. Is there anyone that would have a need? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. One little soul here. Is there anyone else in His presence now? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's believe now. Believe together. Jesus Christ is here, brother, sister. Don't be spiritually dumb tonight. You know He's here. That's not me. Jesus, don't you love Him? Don't you just want to praise Him? Go ahead, brother, sister. Go ahead. That don't disrupt the Lord at all. Sometimes we misinterpret reverence. Reverence is worship. It's the same thing. When Hannah was really worshiping the Lord, what did the religious spirit think? She's drunk. Said, no, I've poured out my soul before God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Go ahead and pour out your soul tonight if you need to. God knows your need. He's God. He's here. If you got to have an altar call right there, you need to get right with God right there, you do that. You got to scream, you got to shout, you got to get that devil out of your life, go ahead, brother, sister. Sometimes you're too passive and you just let them push you around. No, I've jumped in the blood of Christ. God has led me to Himself. That's because I'm the elect of God, and Satan, you got no business pushing me around. Being humble to your fellow brother. Being humble is towards God. Being humble is not being humble towards the devil. Hallelujah. You got some souls up here. I'm going to pray with them. You pray too.
Jesus, thank you for Sadie coming forward, for faith to believe you. Pray you take this body, make it feel all better. She can worship you without any pain. Help her, Lord, we pray. If there's something causing it, Father, you know all things. Help her to see it. Give her revelation. Jesus Christ, let me pray. Amen. Of this resurrection power. Grant him, I pray, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Go praise him.
For anyone else tonight? Just worship him now. Thank you, Jesus. Just worship. We don't have to sing to worship. Pour your heart out before God. Thank you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. I believe what's being sung tonight.
Fresh on.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Have faith and say, Lord, you feel me anew tonight. I believe the effects of my life. Lord, I'm a revival of Christ. Hallelujah. Not living dead. I've overcome sin because you did it 2,000 years ago, Lord. I believe it tonight. Hallelujah. Lord, if I need joy, I know where to find it. It's in my soul. Come on, brother, sister. Quit trying to reach for an apple in front of you. The devil's got on a string. You can never get there. God didn't do us that way. He put a whole storehouse and he made sure the prophet filled it up. So that way we're here 50 years later and there's still plenty of food in there. Hallelujah. Brother, sister, let me ask you, are you listening to the tapes? Come on now. Are you reading your Bible? Are you spending time with God? Come on, we ain't got time to diddle-daddle around no more. You're the bride of Christ, but you got to feed on the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say, Lord, and if you can't, there ain't no love in your heart to do it, get back and say, Lord, I need a love in my heart for you because I left it somewhere. Brother, sister, don't hide
your sins.
Get it out. Get it out before God. Don't put a front. If you're backslid, you might as well be honest. Say, Lord, I'm sorry. Come on now. Go ahead and do it if that's you, because when you don't do it, the spiritual believer begins to think it's them, and it's not. It's you. Come on, brother, sister. Don't lay there in doubt and shame and fear and torment and complex. I'm glad that I finally got a revelation. You don't have to live with any complexes. God didn't ordain us to have complexes. The prophet never made an excuse. He says, I have one and I shouldn't have it. He walked away from the pulpit saying, I can't even preach with this complex. He didn't say, I'm just going to stay this way. God made me this way. He said, no, I need to deliver. And you know what? God did. Hallelujah. Praise his holy name. And that resurrection power is still here today, brother, sister. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Receive it with all your heart. Just give him praise tonight. Worship his holy name. You can't find strength. He's got plenty to give you tonight. Say, thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. You got to operate in faith. Faith isn't fiction. Faith is the real reality. When you see that, do that doubt and fear, what are you even saved? If you see that man that you know is saved, hallelujah, and you've heard from your theophany, that's me. Not this man over here is fussing, fighting, and having a hard time here and there. I'm that man, and I'm just being a hypocrite over here. Lord, help me to be what I am. That's the right way to pray. Come on, don't identify with something that's not the Word. You are the Word.
Yes.
Hallelujah. You're not just feeding on the Word. You are the Word you're feeding on. Hallelujah. You're one with Christ. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. I think some of you believe that tonight. Hallelujah. Now let that power get behind it. Just keep feeding it. Say, yes, Lord, that was for me. Yes, Lord. Let's have a breakthrough in the spirit, brother, sister. You get that starchiness out of our life that the devil's put all his unbelief in us. We can't even worship like we used to. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Why don't we let the Pentecostals take our joy away from us? Taking away our good services. Come on, brother, sister. God didn't pour out the rain for the wheat. He poured it out for the wheat.
Yes.
Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes. It's all we worship in spirit and in truth. Thank you, Lord, that your doctrine has power to deliver us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I just clear my heart before you. Thank you for the blood. Thank you for the Holy Ghost tonight. Thank you for power over sin. Glory to God in the highest. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let's praise Him now. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Lift His name up now. Whoa, He is worthy to be praised and adored. Worship Him. So we lift up holy hands in one accord, singing, blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah! Yes, Lord! Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, He is worthy to be praised and adored. Thank you, Lord. So we lift up holy hands in one accord, singing, blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Blessed. Aren't you happy you know what that name is tonight? Yes, Lord Jesus, we worship you. Whoa, blessed be the name. Just get out of your flesh tonight.